We begin the current daf, Masechtas Baba Kama, daf Hey. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we opened up our Masechtas with our Mishnah, our Ba Ovis Nezikin, that there are four primary categories of damages mentioned in the Torah. Then the Gemara brought a Braisa, that there's actually, from Rav Yishai, that there's 13. So the Gemara asks, how come that, what was Rav Yishai saying different than the time of our Mishnah? How come he has 13 and the time of our Mishnah has 4? So that's what the Gemara said. It depends if you hold like Rav or you hold like Shmuel. If you hold like Shmuel, that the town of a Mishnah, Mava Zashen, it's not talking about Adam. The town of a Mishnah only spoke about Niske moment when something you own causes damage, your pit, your ox, but the person himself, that wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah, whereas Rav Yishai was talking about even Niske Kufay, when the person himself causes damages, which is by the different types of custodians, where the person himself causes damage, or when he damages another person, which is the Tzar, Ripa, Shevis, Baishas. So those are the things that are added on by Rav Yishai versus the Talmud Mishnah. Whereas again, according to Rav, that he holds that Mavazel Adin, the Talmud Mishnah, was speaking about a person. On that, the Gemara explained that Rav Yishai was adding on different categories of Adam, which is Adam the Azik Adam, where the Talmud Mishnah was only talking about when a person or anything like a Shur and a Bor, where Bor is specifically not talking about an Adam because it's not Chayv on damaging of a person. It's when they damage money. Whereas Rav Yishai was adding on when a person damages another person, which wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah. And also similarly regarding the Dalet Shomrim, which was even if the Hezek's not done be a dime. The time of our Mishnah was talking about when they actively cause a damage, whereas the four types of custodians when it happened by itself. But it's still the person's negligence, and therefore that's what Rav Yishai is adding on. And then there was another Brais, Rav Chiya, who he said that there's 24 types of Av Mazikin. So the Gemara asked, how come Rav Yishai doesn't say, he's already adding on to the Talmud Mishnah, how come he doesn't say those which are added on by Rav Chiya? The Gemara said that those which are added on by Rav Chiya are knosses, are penalties. Penalties are not mominous, they're not exactly regarding the damage that was done. And therefore those are things that he doesn't count them as Av Mazikin, whereas Rav Chiya is counting them, and therefore he comes to a total of 24. However, the Gemara began a discussion of questions on Rav Yishai, where seemingly some of those which Rav Chiya talks about are mominous and they're not knosis. Why doesn't Rav Yishai say those? So on that, the Gemara continues and says, where we had the case of Ganav Gazlin, where regarding the principal, its damage is what they took away, and therefore that returning should be mentioned by him. So that the Gemara had said that that's already, according to Rav Yishai, incorporated already in Shem Echinam, who could have a tiny Ganav, a tiny Gazlin, and therefore he doesn't have to say that. Now that's why the Gemara continues asking Rav Yishai, but one of those mentioned by Rav Chiya was Edim Zayman, regarding when there are witnesses who say testimony on someone to create a liability, and then other witnesses prove that those witnesses are lying and they were with them at that time and they couldn't have said what they're claiming to have seen, then they're actually liable for what they were trying to incriminate that other person, where that Rav Chiya counts as an Av Mazik, asked the Gemara, Dimamayinahu, where that is considered monetary law. Now, as Rashi points out, because what considers something as money and what considers something as a penalty? If you're paying more than what was damaged, for example, like kefil of a ganav or dal vehei, which is when a thief then when he then slaughters it or he sells it, then you're liable to 4 or 5 times what you stole. That's considered knas, as the Gemara explains later on, daf tezvav mabes. So do something where it's a set amount in the Torah. For example, if a man violates or seduces a woman, he always pays 50 knas. Well, it depends what type of girl. No, if it's set amount, or let's say the 100 of the Maitzi Shemra, those are all called knasas. But everything else is considered mammon. So the Gemara asks, Edom Zayman, who they try causing a certain amount of damage, or what they have to pay, is considered mammonous because that's something that's relative. It's not always a set amount. Moreover, it's not something that's more than what he tried to damage. So then listening, so why doesn't Rabbi Yishai say that case in his, to make it not 13, but 14? So I think Mar says, Sabla Kribi Kiva. Rabbi Yishai held like Rabbi Kiva. Dama that he says in Seth Dismakas, Daf Gimlo Med Aleph, that Edom Zayman are Ein Mishalman Al Pei Atzman. They don't pay based on their own admission. In other words, let's say in one court, me and him, we saw this guy and he destroyed that person's fence. Then other people come along to it and say, how could you have said that you were with us? So they became Edom Zayman, they were Huzam. Now, the problem is that the court didn't get a chance to penalize, to make them pay for their hazama that they had done, and then they quickly went somewhere else. They went in front of another court, and they admitted their guilt, saying, yeah, we're in that court, and we lied, and we were really Edom Zayman. And on that, the halacha, Rabbi Kiva says, that they're exempt. So obviously you see, according to Rabbi Kiva, that it's considered a knas. Because why would you be exempt? If I go to court and I say, oh, I broke something, so go ahead and pay up. The halacha of moed beknas is patra. Only by a penalty the halacha is, asher shirin elikim, prat l'mashiyas atzma. If you admit your own guilt by a penalty, that's when you're exempt. So obviously, from Rabbi Kiva, you see that he holds that Eid Mzayman is a knas, and that's why if they admit their own guilt, they're not Misham Piyatzman. So that's why Avishu didn't count it, because again, he wasn't told by knas, is only Derni Mamanas. Now that the Gemara asked, well, Isab or Rabbi Kiva, if he holds a Rabbi Kiva, then we return to a question that was mentioned in the previous daf. Listni Tri Gavni Shur, then Rabbi should not only, as he mentions, two types of Adam, as we said, that according to Rav, Mavazeh Adam is already mentioned in the four of our Mishnah. What is Rav Yishai adding on in his 13 when he talks about other cases of a person causing damage? It's already mentioned. So he said, Tri Gavni Adam. So the Gemara asked, Tri Gavni Shar. So it's mentioned two types of Shar, Shar the Azik Adam and Shar the Azik Shar. So the Gemara answered, they're both the same thing. There's no reason for us to mention them as separate categories. But now the Gemara is asking, if you're telling me Rav Yishai holds a Rabbi Kiva, then they should mention two cases of an ox, which is Listen to Shar the Azik Shar. You should mention when the ox gores an ox. And we listen to Shadda Azagod, Mishnah mentioned when the ox hurts and maims a person. Because actually, according to Rabbi Kiva, there is going to be a difference between the payments of when an ox gores an ox, where there the halach is for the first few times he's a shur tam and only pays chatzi nezik, whereas when the shur is mazik adam, where he pays nezik shalim, it's not like we learn the Mishnah later on, the Lamed Gimel and Aleph. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says, Af tam shechavol ba'adam, also a sure tam in its first times when it harms a person, mishalem b'meiser, he pays in the excess. Well, that's talking about a specific case where, if let's say there was an accident, so to speak, between a person and an ox, where the person harms the sure tam and the sure tam harms the person, so the court evaluates the harm that was done from the ox and the person, and it was more than the damage that the person had done in the ox. So then the owner of the ox has to pay that excess, which is over the amount of damage that he was done, nezek shalim, from the complete damage that was done to the person. So you see that a shur tam in a person pays nezek shalim, in contrast to shur tam in a shur, it only pays chatzin nezek. So then if you're saying he's like Rabbi Kiva, then he should have said other cases. Yeah, he's not going to say Adam Zayman, but then he should have said shur di azik shur and shur di azik adam, which would have been more cases than the 13 that he says. So the Gemara says, "Hatavre Rabbi Kiva legzize," that Rabbi Kiva broke the strength of his fist. What does that mean? The time they learned the Braisa, meaning the thrust of it, it's not as strong as you would think it is, and that's why we can't mention it. Because we learned the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva, he says, "Yochol avtam shechavu ba'adam." You would think that even the shur tam, when he harms a person, yishalem min aliyah, he will pay from his best things. Tamalayma, it's the pasuk. In other words, meaning from all his property and not just from the ox itself, which is halacha by shur tam, that you could only collect from the ox itself. So you would think, but by a shur the azik adam would be different, just like we're saying that it's different in regards to paying nezik shalom. You would think it would be different that it's not just collectible from the ox itself, but it's collectible even, let's say the ox is not worth the amount of damage that was done to the person. You would collect from all the properties, the best stuff of the owner of the ox. Tamalim, that's a pasuk teaching in Shemais. This in Perkaf Alav Pasuk Laman Alav. The pasuk there is talking about of a shur de azik adam. It says Oven Yigoch Evas Yigoch. If he gores a son or a daughter, it says Kamishpat Azel, like this judgment Ye Asoloi will be done to him. Who's him? The ox, which is Megufa Mishalim Ve'Ena Mishalim Naliyah. He only could be collected from the body of the ox and not from the best of the owner of the ox. Now, therefore, as Rashi explains, it could come out that the shur tam, that's azik adam, will not be paying nezik shalom, because you only can collect as much as the ox is worth. And therefore, since you're not always going to collect nezik shalom from the ox, that's why there's not much of a difference really between shur the azik adam and shur the azik shur, because shur the azik shur is also going to be megufa, and so is going to be shur the azik adam. Moreover, you're not always going to have nezik shalom, and if it's not as definite, as different as shur the azik as Adam the Azik Shar and Adam the Azik Adam. So therefore, when the ox is going, we're not going to say it as different categories, and that's why, even if he holds a Rabbi Kiva regarding Edom Zayman, you're not going to have two different categories of Shar, one of harming an ox and one of harming a person. But the Gemara continues asking on the differences between Rabbi Chiya, why Rabbi Yishai doesn't mention some of Rabbi Chiya's cases. Ha'inis v'amathat, regarding a man that rapes or seduces a woman, v'hamaytis shemra, or as Tosis actually points out, this was only said incidentally, because it's together usually with those three types of cases, Einus, Mefatim, and Teshemer, all related to intimacy with a woman. But it's not really one of the cases the Gemara is asking on. Dima Mainahu, where regarding Einus and Mefatim, that besides the 50 silver coins he has to pay for the act of being Ma'anus or Mefata, there's also Pagam, the depreciation of a woman, of a girl that had this done to her, where now her value is lower than it was before. So to Baishas, her humiliation has also monetary value, which it's actual, it's compensation. So listen, why does Rabbi Yishai say in those cases, they're not Knas? So the Gemara says, Manavshach. Either way you look at it, why would Rabbi Yishai have to mention the cases of Einus and Mefata? Inezek, if you're talking about the actual damage that was done to the woman, tunnel it. He already says Nezek. He mentions the four things of Adam that is Chayva Ba'Adam, which is Nezek, Tzari, Peshevas, Baishas. So he already says Nezek. Itzar, if he's talking about the pain that the woman went through with by being raped, well, tunnel it. He already says it. Baishas, he's talking about the humiliation, tunnel it. He already mentions it. Pagam, if it's regarding the depreciation, well, Hainu Nezek, that's the same thing as the harm that was done to her. So what do you have left? Why would he mention it as a separate case? Because of Knasa regarding the penalty, besides all those things. There's a penalty that Einus and Mefata has to give of 50 silver coins. But Knasa, like am I? That we said, Rav Yishai is not told in the case of Knas, and that's why he doesn't mention those cases of Rav Chiya. But the Gemara continues asking. From the last ones that Rav Chiya mentions are Hamadame. If someone makes someone's Truma Tame, or the Hamadama, or if he mixes Truma with his friend's Chulin, which now it loses value, because supply and demand, they can only go for Kahanim, much smaller market. Or Vahamanasach, if someone takes his friend's wine and he pours it for Avodah Zarah, where now he makes it forbidden Bahana, since he did an action with the wine itself. So we have all these things, Dimimainahu Lisni, where it's monetary law, it's actual damage that he did to the other person's produce. So that's not a Kanas, so why doesn't Rav Yishai say those cases? So the Gemara here says also, Manavshach, either way you look at it, why should he mention it? If damage which is unrecognizable, like in these cases where if you look at the wine, the produce, you don't see anything missing, it looks the same as it was before, just made a tummy, put a sheretz on it, or he poured it for avodah zarah, but it's not recognizable. But if you say hezek shein niker, shmei hezek has the halachic status as damage, well, hatan lele nezek, you already mentioned hezek, that it's considered avamazek. And if you say unrecognizable damage does not have the halachic status as nezek in the Torah, well then have a kenasa. So it's not real damage. It's just a penalty that you have to pay for it. And there's not too much penalty. So either way you look at it, there's no reason why Rabbi Yishai should have mentioned it. But now the Gemara asks based on that, so lemik sav Reb Chiya, so is that to say that Reb Chiya holds, who he does mention it, that hezek shein in nikar lo yishmei hezek, that unrecognizable damage is not considered in halacha from the Torah as damage? And rather, it's because it's a knas that he mentions it, and that's why it's not already included in the nezek that Rabbi Yishai mentioned. Because the ishmei hezek hatani le nezek. If you say hezek she'en nikar is considered hezek, well, Reb Chiya incorporates those of Rabbi Yishai and those of our Mishnah, and hezek is already mentioned. So why would Reb Chiya be adding on these cases? Obviously, it's only because they're not considered nezek, and they're only a knas, and that's what he's adding on more than Rabbi Yishai. So the Gemara says no. We could say that he holds that it is considered hezek, but tana hezek edemikri, he mentions separate categories for hezek for damage which is recognizable. For tana hezek edemikri, he just adds on cases of damage which is unrecognizable to say that's also considered avamazek, but it's considered hezek. It's not a knas, it's considered monetary law. Now the Gemara sums up these three tanoic sources, our Mishnah, Bryce of Rabbeisha, Bryce of Chia, that Bishlam and the Tan the Didan. We understand according to the Tan of our Mishnah, Tana Minyana. There's a number that was given to it. It said, Arba Avos Nezikin. Why did it give a number? The Mutar Rabbi Yishai to exclude the numbering of Rabbi Yishai to say that it's not 13, it's only 4. Rabbi Yishai told him, why did Rabbi Yishai say a number of 13? The Mutar Rabbi Chiya to exclude the 24, the excess of Rabbi Chiya. And the Minyana, Rabbi Chiya Lemutei Mai, but what was the numbering of Rabbi Chiya as if to say that only this number and not more, what is not being mentioned by Rabbi Chiya that he's excluding? So the Gemara says, "Lemuute meiser." It's coming to exclude a meiser, a malshin, someone that's an informer that hands over, incriminates his friend to have to give over his money to the non-Jewish people, and a mafagel, a kohen that when he's slaughtering a korban of a yid in the Beis Hamikdash, and instead of bringing it as a chatzis, he brings it as a korban shlamim, where then the korban does not fulfill the obligation which the Yisrael has to bring, and has to bring another one, that's a loss for the Yisrael, that those two avmazikin are not mentioned by Reb Chiya as avamazik. So the Gemara says, but listen, but why does Reb Chiya say at least the case of meiser? Because bishlam mafagel, we understand the case of pigel, when the kohen has an inappropriate thought when he's bringing the carbon of the Yisrael. But kachem like a mari, Reb Chiya wasn't talking about kachem items. Ela meiser my time loy tani. But why doesn't he say the case of an informer where that's causing damage, and that then the meiser has to pay for what he caused or lost for his fellow Jew? So the Gemara says, Shani Meiser, an informer is different. He doesn't mention that in his 24, because Didibura, it's done just with speech. But Didibura, like Kamari, wasn't talking about damage that's done with a person's words. That's a whole different type of category. He was talking about things which are an action that he mentioned. Not the Gemara asked, but Vamaitzi Shemra, but one of the cases that Ruchia mentions is a husband that got married and says to the court that my wife doesn't have Besulim, wasn't a virgin, where Didibura, who it's with speech, for Gatani, and it is mentioned. So the Gemara says, no, dibur de is by maisahu. It's words that are accompanied with an action. It's not pure speech, because it comes along with the act of cohabitation that he had with his new wife. So it's the two of them together. So that's mentioned, because there's a maisah there. But pure speech, he didn't mention. But the Gemara says, but there are the witnesses that were shown to be liars, that they weren't even there at the scene with that they're claiming to say testimony for, that they're liable to pay that amount. That's dibur de les ben ma'isahu begertani, where there's no action there at all. It's just words that they say testimony for, and it is mentioned by Reb Chiya. So the Gemara says, no hasam afagav de les ben ma'isah there, although yes, there's no action by the Edom Zayman themselves, but rachmana kari ma'isah, the Torah calls it an action. Like the pasuk says in the Devarim, v'asisim loi kashazamim lasad la'achim, that you should do to him, to these witnesses that falsely testified, like he had plotted to do to his brother. It says lasad la'achim, so therefore, although it's not an action, but the Torah calls it an action, that's why Reb Chiya mentions it. But a pure speech that's not considered in action in any way, that is not mentioned by Reb Chiya, and that's why he doesn't mention the case of Meisah. So again, that's for the reason for the metrics of Reb Chiya. Now the Gemara asks, again, Bishlam Tamad Dan. We understand according to Tana of our Mishnah, Tana Avis, Mechlal Deka told us, like we explained in the beginning of the parak, why is it called Arba Avis Nasik, and that there are four primary? What does the word Av mean? A father means that there's children. So we said that each one of those four have Tailadis, they have derivatives. Like we said that pushing with the body, or biting to harm, that's a derivative of Karen, which is Kavanos Lahazik. We said when it's rubbing itself against the wall as for pleasure, that's a derivative of shein, which is also pleasure when it eats, and so too for all the avmazikin. El Reb Chiya v'Reb Yishya, but according to the 13 of Reb Yishya and the 24 Reb Chiya, obvious with this that they're calling them the avmazikin, the primary, machlal dekat talodis, which infers that there are derivatives, told the same mani, what's the derivative of a ganev or a gazlan? What is it that we're saying has those characteristics to say that those are considered primary? So Amr Bevo says, Kulan ka'avis. Yes, we said they're considered an av because they mentioned the Torah, but what's unique about it that it's an av, as if that there's a derivative? It's not because there's taladas. It's for a different reason that they call them avis, is l'shalem emetiv. It's to say that has the halacha of others, which I mentioned in the Torah, that it has to pay from the best of his fields. In other words, if he doesn't want to pay money, he wants to pay from his fields, he has to give from the idis, from the best that he has, like the halachas is regarding the zakat. Now my time, what's the reason? How do we know that the halacha by those are that they're going to be from Meitav? Asi, we learn it out from these four words, Tachas, Nesina, Yishalem, and Kesef. Now, which is because by all these 24, the Torah writes either the word Tachas. Now, if it says the word Tachas, we learn out Tachas from Shur HaMu'ud, where it says by the Shur HaMu'ud that Shur Tachas, Asher, you have to give an ox in place of the ox that was harmed. Now, just like over there, from Karen, you have to give the best of your fields because we learned it out from Shein and Regel. Because by Shein and Regel, the pasuk says, Meitav Sedehu. So to over here, where it says the word Tachas, like by Shur HaMu'ud, you also have to give the Idis, the Meitav, where if you're going to come to pay from your land to the Nizik, you have to, because of what was damaged, you have to give him from the best of the field. Or it's because one of these 24 has the word Nesina, giving. Tachas means in place of, Nesina means giving. We learned out the term Nesina that it says by a Shur Shenogach HaSe'eved, when the ox gores a slave, where it says over there, yiten la'adoin, that he has to give to the owner of the slave the 30 shkalim. So it says the word nasan, just like over there, the halacha is shor shenagach, we know it has to give from idis. So to all those which has the word nasan, also has to give idis. Or it says the word yishalim by them, which is that we learn that also from Shane Regal, where it says there in that pasuk itself, Meitav Karma Yishalim, the best of his vineyard, he has to pay up that guy who he damaged. You see, use the word Yishalim, so to whoever says Yishalim. Or it has the word Kesef, where then we learn that from Bar, because by Bar it says Kesef Yashav Lavalim, that the owner of the pit has to give to the owner of what was damaged in his pit what he had damaged. And how do we know that that Bar pays from Idis? Because all the four Av Mazikin, we learn out from Shane and Regal, and therefore we know that the term Yishalim is referring to Idis, and so too everywhere it says the term Yishalim has to give from the best of his fields. And Rashi goes through and shows whereby all these 24 has one of these four terms of Tachas, Nesina, Yishalim, or Kesav, and that's how we know that has to be from Eitim, and that's why they're calling it an Ava Mazik, not to say that there's a Telada like in the four Ava Mishnah, but rather to say that it has the same halachas like those Av Mazikin, which are the four in Ava Mishnah, which is, as we learn now from Shein Regal, that's Meitiv Karmoy, that's Yishalim. So now our Gemara goes back to the Mishnah that had said, Lo Ari Hashur Kari Hamava. The Mishnah, after it went through all, what all the four Av Mazikin are, then it says that the characteristics of Shur are not like the characteristics of Mava. So the Gemara says, my comma, what is the Tana of our Mishnah saying? What's the difference to say that they have different characteristics? So Amrav Zmin B'Shmei D'Rav HaHachakam, and this is what the Mishnah was saying. Lichdev Rachman Chada, the Mishnah was forewarning a question. Let the Torah have written only one of those four Av Mazikin, B'Teisei Yidich Menei, and then learn out the other Av Mazikin from it, which is what's called a mamatzino, just like we find by a shur, which is a mazik, and you're going to be chayiv. So to mava, which is a mazik, you'll be chayiv. That's what the Mishnah then says. Chadim echadolay asya. You wouldn't be able to learn out one from the other one. Whereas we explained this on Daf Dalid, which Rav according to his interpretation of what is mava, and Shmuel according to his interpretation, but that we would explain why you wouldn't know shur from mava and mava from shur. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "V'lo yizeh v'zeh sheish ben ruchayim," and neither is it that regarding these two, Shur and Mavu, where both share the common characteristic that they have a living spirit, in contrast to Eish, which doesn't. So the Gemara says, "My coming now, what's the Mishnah continuing to say?" So I'm Rabbi Meshar Shemeshmei D'Rabbi. He says, "Hachakam," this is what the time of the Mishnah is saying, as we continue on the Talmud base. Lichdev Rachman the Tarti. So good, we know you can't learn a one from the other one, but let the Torah write two, which is Shur and Mavu. The taste of idich, and then you can learn the other one that is of Eish, of fire, minay from those two. Because when you're going to ask and say, wait a second, how can you learn it from Karen, where it has kavanos, lahazik, has intention to harm, where who said then you could learn that from fire, where the intention is not to cause damage with one's fire, it's just that the wind took it, who said you're going to be liable? Then you could say, when Mava, which is Shane, will disprove that and say, because Shane doesn't have kavanos, lahazik, and still it's chayiv. Well, then you'll say, but wait a second, how can you learn a fire from Shane, which at least has anola zeke? You'll then say, no, Karen will disprove that. It doesn't have anola zeke, and it still causes damage. So that would be according to Shmuel, or according to Rav, the interpretation would be that he says, Mavis Adam, it would be that if you're going to ask, how can you learn from Shur that regarding fire, because it has kavanos lahazik, but fire doesn't have, then maybe fire wouldn't be chayv if it didn't say it in the Torah. It'd say, no, Adam will be mechiach, that even though his intention is not to cause damage, he's liable. As the Mishnah teaches us later on, a person is liable for his damages, whether he's up or whether he's sleeping, where he's not intending to do any damages. But then you say, wait, how could you learn a fire from Adam? Adam is liable for four things, of Tzar, Reaper, Shevis, and Baishas, which doesn't apply to fire. But then you'll say, well, Shur will disprove that, where it doesn't have those four things, and it is liable. Hatzara Shavah Shabhan, what's the common denominator of those two things? Shadarkin Lahazik Shmiras and Lecha. It's normal for it to cause damage, and it's your responsibility to watch it. So I would also include fire from the common denominator of those two things. That's the question that the Mishnah is forewarning. Hada Amid, that's what the Mishnah then continues to say, that no Chadda Mitarti Loy Asi. You can't even learn that one from two, because that Karen and Mava are different than fire, even the common denominator, because they both have a Ruach Chaim, a living spirit, an ox, and a person are living things, whereas fire is not, and therefore I would not have known fire even from the Tzad HaShavah, from the common denominator of both Shur and Mav. Now, however, Amar Rava does tell us, but the Kulu, that's what we explain in Rashi in the Mishnah, that it says, Lo Yari Ashur Kari HaMava, it doesn't say in order, Lo Yari Ashur Kari HaBar, which is the second one, say, wait, if it would have said those two, you would not have known the rest, because actually Rava says, V'kulu, regarding all the av mazikin, kishadis bur minayu, if you take one of the av mazikin and you put it together with bur, the mazik of a pit, asukulu b'mahatzad, you actually would know all the other av mazikin with a common denominator from those two. In other words, if you would say bur and one of the other av mazikin, you would know the rest with a mahatzad, as Rashi goes through at length to show this. It says, had the Torah written, let's say, Boyer and Karen. So let's say it would have gone in the order of the Mishnah. So maybe you wouldn't know Boyer from Shur and Shur from Boyer, but then you wouldn't be able to continue the conversation. Because then you would actually know all the rest from Boyer and Karen. You would know Shur, you would know, let's say, Shane from the two of them. Because you would say, wait a second, Boyer is not Darka Leilich Lahazik. It doesn't move and it causes damage and creates a liability. So for sure, Shane, which moves, you definitely should be careful about it. A pit doesn't move, so let the guy be careful who fell into it. And still you're liable. So Shane, regarding an animal eating, for sure, you're watching your animal moving, you have to be careful that it doesn't cause any damage. But then you'd say, wait a second, maybe you can't learn Shane from Bar, because Bar has a certain stringency that Tchilas Asiyasi Lenezik. It was made as a damage. Its inception as a pit is something that causes damage, but Shane doesn't have that. An animal from birth is not something that's a mazik, therefore maybe you would say you can't learn out from that. Then you say, no, Karen would disprove that, where its inception is not, a horn is not inceptually as a hazik. Then you'd say, maybe I can't learn out Shane from Karen, because Karen has kavanas lahazik. Then I'd say, Bar would disprove that, where it's not, the pit's not, has no intention to cause any damage, and then it would go back and forth. The common denominator of both of them is that it's normal for it to cause damage, and it's your money, and you have to watch it. So too, I would learn out Shane from the two of them. And so too, you learn a regal from Karen and Bar. Because when you're going to ask that Bar, that it's Tchilas Asiyas L'Nazik, whereas by regal doesn't have that, you would say, well, Karen would disprove that it also doesn't have Tchilas Asiyas L'Nazik. But then you would say, wait a second, Karen that has Kavanas L'Hazik, well, then Bar would disprove that because there's no Kavanas L'Hazik by a pit. So too, you would learn a fire from Karen and Bar. And so too, by all of them, it would start off that you should learn out from Bar. Because if by Bar, where it doesn't even walk, and it caused damage, you're liable. So all the rest, which they move and cause damage, for sure it's going to be a kavul chomer that you would learn it out from Bar. But then you would ask, wait a second, but Bar has a certain stringency that its inception is as a damager. Maybe that's why they're your chayv and you wouldn't know to the rest. But and so too had the Torah written by Bar but then you say Karen will be mechiyach where it doesn't have that. Then you learn out from those two of Karen and Bar. So the Rashi says, if let's add Bar and Shane, you would also know all the rest from it. But the difference is, when you say Karen and Bar, you would know everything. But, says Rava, if you had Bar and one of the other ones, let's say with Shane, then you would know everything, Labarmi Karen, except for Karen, from this Mahatzat. Because you would say, how would you know everything else? You would say, well, if you find by pit where it doesn't even go anywhere and you're liable, let's let the guy who walked in to be careful and still you're liable. So Regal and Eish are, isn't it a kosher cane where, of course, they're going to be chayv. You could learn out Regal and Eish straight from Bar, where if they're going, for sure you should be chayv. But then you would say, wait a second, maybe you can't learn out from Bar because its inception is as a mazik. How are you going to say that regarding these things where from their inception they're not a mazik? But then Shane would disprove then and say, well, Shane's not Tchilas Asiyas L'Nazik and it's Chayiv. So then you could include these things from them. But then you would say, well, how can you learn from Shane that there's Hanola Zekai, but regarding these things that there's no pleasure when it causes damage? Well, then you say, Bar will disprove that because it's no Hanola Zekai over there. The common denominator of all of them is that, of those two, of Shane and Bar, is that it's your mom and it's there, normal to be Mazik. So to all these things have those common denominators too. But says Rava, Karen would not be learned out from that. Why? Because regarding Karen, you could ask and say that malakulu, what we find by the common denominator of all of them, in other words, let's say we're using the case of Bar and Shane, shekin mu'adin mitchilasan, where from their inception, yurchayiv nezik shalom, it's considered a mu'it. In contrast to Karen, where the first few times it's considered a shar tam, it doesn't pay nezik shalom. So too, if let's say wrote Bar and Regal, you would also learn that all of them from the ma'atzad of Bar, except from Karen, because you would ask that Mala Bar Shekhen, you would say that Bar Tchilas Asiyas L'Nazik, you would say that, but in contrast to Shane and Adam and Regal, Shane and Eish and Adam, so okay, Regal would disprove that. But then you would say, how can you learn from Regal where it's Hezekiah Matzai, because it's always walking and it's more normative for it to cause damage than all the other things? how can you learn out other things from Regel? Then you'd say Boyer would disprove that because it doesn't walk at all. And it's not as common to cause damage as Regel. Then we go back and forth. The common denominator would include all those other things. But again, Karen would not be included because what does the common denominator of Boyer and Regel have? That the Muad Mitchelasen, whereas Karen doesn't have Muad Mitchelasen. So the Rashi continues, says, let's say the common denominator would be Boyer and Eish. So again, we'd be able to learn out everything from Boyer. And then you're going to ask, but how could you learn from Boyer? Yes, although it doesn't move, for sure all the others which move should be Chayiv, but Boyer has the Chumrah of Tchilas HaSias al Nazik. How could you compare that to Regel Sheinu Adam, which is not Tchilas HaSias al Nazik? So Eish would disprove that, where it's not inception of fire is to cause damage. But then you would say, but how can you learn from fire, where it's a Mu'ud to consume whether things that are fit for it or whether things that are not fit for it? For example, like wood and utensils and stone, where there's a liability of Eish on all these things, how can you learn out, let's say, Shein, which is not a Mu'ud for things that are not fit for it? It's only Chayiv for things that it's normal for it to eat. Well, Boyer would disprove that, because a Boyer is not a Mu'ud for things that are not fit for it. It's only for things that are fit for it, and yet it's Chayiv. So too Shein, which is also only things that are Roy for it, would also be learned out from Boyer. Because what's something that's not Roy law for a pit? It's a person. Because the pasuk says, if an ox or a donkey falls in, where a person shouldn't be falling in, they should be looking where he's going, the pasuk actually says, an owner of a pit's only liable for the ox, not for the person. And chamar v'lokim is only liable for the donkey that falls in, and not for the utensils that fall in. Because if a person or utensils fall into a pit, the balabar is going to be exempt, so therefore you would know shein then from bar. Again, the common denominator of ish and bar would be that it's something that it's normal for it to happen, and it's your money, and you have to watch it, and if it happens, you're liable. So you would include Shein. And you would actually even know Adam and Regel even from halfway. You don't have to go back and forth. Because when you're going to say that Eish Teichiach, that Eish will disprove because it does go, and you're liable. And it's not Tchelas HaSias L'Nezek, like Bar, you can't ask from fire that has anything over the halachas of Adam and Regel, so that would for sure be learnt out. But Karen would not be learned that because the common denominator of Boyer and Eish has that the Mu'ud mitchilas in contrast to Karen. Now Rashi points out, that's why Rava said that if you put Boyer with any of the Av Mazikin, you would know everything besides Karen, because if you took any of the other Av Mazikin and put it with one of the other ones, you would not know everything. You would. It's only by Boyer and one of the other ones you know everything besides Karen. But by one of the other ones, you would not know Karen and you would not know Boyer either. Because Karen cannot be learned out, as we said, from Eish, Regel, Shein, and Adam, because like we said, whatever word you're going to be learning out from, they're all Mu'ud Mitchilasik. Now moreover, Boyer also cannot be learned out from them, because what we find by all of them is that they're dark and leilich lahazik, they go as they cause damage. Whereas regarding Boyer, it doesn't go, you wouldn't know that you're going to be chayiv on a pit, maybe something which is stationary, you're not liable for. So that's why he says it only regarding Boyer and one other one, you would know everything, again, besides for Karen. But again, if you had Boyer and Karen, you would know everything. Now, however, Rashi asks, but why doesn't Rava say that if you put Karen with one of the other ones, you would also know everything, again, besides for Boyer, just like you say with Boyer and one of the other ones, you know everything besides for Karen. So actually, Rashi says, no, had we said Karen, there would actually be two things that you would not know from one and the other one. Because if, let's say, you pick either Regel or Shein or Adam with Karen, you wouldn't know Eish from those two. Because you would ask, what we find by the common denominator is that they have Ruach Haim, they have a living spirit, and therefore you wouldn't know Eish, and so too you wouldn't know Bar from the two of them. Because as we said, Bar doesn't move. Maybe that you're not going to be Chayiv. Had we said Eish with Karen, we wouldn't know Shein and Bar from the two of them. Because we would ask, we find by Eish, where it consumes even things that are not Roy for it, and it's Chayiv like Kalem, how you can learn out Shein, which is Patron on Kalem, as we learn in the Mishnah later on, Daf Yud Tesem Beis, which you cannot say over there, Karen Yechiach. And moreover, you wouldn't know Bar. Because Bar, as we said, the common denominator would have Dark and Leilal Chazik in contrast to Bar, and that's why, again, Rav has said, not the case of Karen and one of the other ones, because by Karen and the other ones, you would not know two, and so too, by the halacha of Bar, it's only by Bar and one of the other ones that you'll know everything besides for Karen. Now, so the Gemara concludes then, if that's the case, Elamai Hilchas are Kasvin Rachman, then why did the Torah write all of them? We originally thought, the way the Mishnah made it sound like, that, oh, had we said Shur, you wouldn't know Mava. You had said Mava, you wouldn't know Shur. Okay, so that's why we had to say those two. Oh, then why did we say Eish? Learn it from those two. Oh, had we said those two, you wouldn't know that. And then the Mishnah continues and said, oh, then yes, we have to say all four. But now the way Rava disclosed, he said, actually, the Mishnah was just saying it in that way. But actually had it gone in order, Shur and Bur, you actually would know the rest. So then the question comes back. So why did the Torah say all the four Avmazik and then not just learn it off from Shur and Bar? So the Gemara answers, Lehilchay Sayin. It was said specifically for the halachis, which applies by each one, which it doesn't say, which is it's unique halacha by it itself, which something unique you would not have known from the other one. In other words, you would know, let's say, that Shein and Regel, you would learn that from Shur and Bar. But you wouldn't know the unique halachas that apply to each one individually. That's why the Torah mentioned them separately, so that you know these unique halachas that apply to each one. As the Gemara explains, Karen, why did the Torah say Karen? L'chalik bin tamalimu edes, to tell you a unique halacha by when a shur shenagach, that it gores with its horn, that is a difference between the first few times and the later times, where it's only going to be chayv chatzin nezik the first three times. Shein v'regel, why did it say specifically in the Torah the mazik of when it mazik with its teeth or with its feet? Is lefaitrim, b'shus harabim, is to say that there you're exempt if it happens in the public domain. Because the pasuk says, b'shein v'regel, u'bir b'steyachar, and that it consumes in another person's field, where it's only in the other person's field, in the rishus hanizik, not in the public domain. Boy, why did the Torah say explicitly the case of a pit is lifter by esakelim is to exempt if it causes damage to utensils. Where in the Gemara says, but Rabbi Yehuda, the mechayva niske kelim boy, according to Rabbi Yehuda, actually that he holds that there is a liability even for kelim in a pit, which the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban is mentioned later on in Perek Shur Shenagach Chazapara, where Rashi actually points out that this drasha of boyer is actually only just said together with the other ones, where we're saying what our unique halachas we learn out from each one, because actually, regarding the Gemara's question, Bar had to be written, not for its halachas, because actually, like we said, had it said any of the two, you would not have known Bar from the common denominator, because all of them are dark and leilich lahazik, except for Bar. So Rashi just says it's just because we're darshaning the halachas that are unique to each one, so we also mentioned Bar, but that's not why the Torah mentioned Bar. It had to say Bar, because you would not have known it from any of the other ones. So the Gemara is saying, but according to Behuda, that holds that there is a liability, even for Kalim, so why did it say unique halacha, or what is the uniqueness at least, the way Rashi said it, of Bar? It's lifted by a Sa'adam, it's to exempt if a person falls into the pit. Whereas the drasha is, it says, if a shur falls in, shur b'lo Adam, if a person falls in, you're not chayiv for the liability of your pit. Adam, why did the Torah say that a person, if he's mazik, that he's going to be chayiv? Of course, you can know it from the ma'atzad. Is the chayiv a barbar dvarm? To make him liable for four unique things which are unique to the Adam Hamazik, which are Tzar, Ripa, Shebis, Abayshis, whereas regards to all the other ones, they don't have this unique halacha. And Eish, the Mazik of fire, is lifter by Esatam and is to exempt if, let's say, there were garments, there were utensils hidden inside a silo, where the one who is the owner of the fire, the one who caused the fire, is actually exempt on those things, because the Pasuk says in Shemes Chabez, Oy HaKama, when it talks about the Mazik of fire, it says, or the standing grain, which the Gemara at the end of Akainis on Daf Samach Amar Aleph says, just like the standing grain is revealed, it's out in the open, so too whatever is out in the open, which excludes something that's hidden inside, where actually for that hezek of fire, you're not going to be liable for, which is not the case by Shur, Bar, Mava, where there, even though it's hidden, if the damage was done by the Shur, you're going to be chay for it, where Rabbi Yehuda actually disputes this halach of Taman. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda de mechayva niske tam be'esh, that he holds that there is a liability for fire just like all the other avmazikin, even if it's hidden that you're going to be liable for the fire, so lasu yimai. So what more, what is unique about fire that we have to mention it? Again, you could know it from the ma'atzad of Shur and Bar. So now the Gemara continues in Tab of Vav and Aleph, lasu yi, it's coming to include something that we would not have known from the other avmazikin, which is unique by fire, lichacha niroi, if it scorched the plowed field of his friend, or vesichsechavanav, or if it scorches his stones, that's going to create a liability. Where Rashi just points out the change of terminology of sichsecha is more appropriate by stones, because it actually doesn't really burn anything, it just scorches it, and the fire attaches it to it and does a little of that. That's why the Torah wrote the avamazik of fire, to create a liability, even if fire causes these type of damages. Whereas the Gemara that later on the Samach Amar Aleph learns this out from the term oy hasada, even if it's damaged not to the grain itself but just to the field, which that you not have known this type of halacha from the other avmazikim, but something that's totally ain row for it. Like here, where this is not what the primary thing of what a fire does. It burns things up. It consumes things. But here, it's just scorching. That you would not have known that Eish would be chayav on that. That's why I have to mention Eish individually in the Torah to tell you this drasha of Ay Hasad, to say that even there, the hezek of Eish is going to be chayav for.